Picture a celebrated CEO on the cover of Fortune magazine, flanked by headlines about record profits and revolutionary growth. 5 years later, that same executive resigns in disgrace, the company hemorrhaging cash, its stock price in freefall. This isn't a cautionary tale about fraud or incompetence. It's the predictable rhythm of capitalism itself. What if the very success that earns accolades today plants the seeds of tomorrow's failure? This counterintuitive insight forms the backbone of Marathon Asset Management's investment philosophy, detailed in Capital Returns. While most investors obsess over forecasting demand, will consumers want more smartphones, will China keep building, Marathon focuses on something far more reliable, supply. Specifically, how capital floods into profitable industries, inevitably destroying the very returns that attracted it in the first place. In a world where Robinhood traders and hedge fund titans alike chase hot sectors, understanding this capital cycle offers a rare edge. The capital cycle operates with clockwork precision, yet catches everyone off guard. Exceptional returns trigger glowing analyst reports and media adoration. Emboldened CEOs announce expansions, while investment banks arrange financing and growth investors pile in. The story feels unstoppable until it stops. Half a decade later, celebrity CEOs ousted, profits collapsed, industries drowning in excess capacity. This pattern repeats because high profitability breeds overconfidence. Managers confuse favorable conditions with genius. Executives and investors make systematically biased forecasts, wildly optimistic during booms, excessively pessimistic during busts. The lag between deployment and production creates lumpy supply changes that overshoot dramatically. Human psychology drives this persistence. Investors are infatuated with growth, reflected in the historically poor performance of high-growth stocks. Competition neglect occurs when multiple players increase capacity simultaneously, failing to consider how rising supply affects returns. Decision makers take the inside view, focusing on specific circumstances rather than broader patterns. We anchor on recent data and extrapolate trends linearly, despite the cyclical nature of trade, credit, liquidity, real estate, profits, commodities, and industry capital. For investors who grasp the capital cycle, downturns create opportunities most analysts miss entirely. Certain sectors systematically destroy shareholder value through boom-bust cycles. During the late 1990s tech boom, telecom companies assumed internet traffic doubled every 100 days, justifying massive spending. After the bubble burst, billions in unused dark fiber represented pure value destruction. Global shipping followed the same pattern. Between 2001 and 2007, daily rates for Panamax ships rose tenfold as China's trade share expanded. The supply response proved devastating. The global dry bulk fleet doubled between 2004 and 2009. Daily rates collapsed 90%, and investors who bought shipping stocks in mid-2007 lost two-thirds of their money. The commodity supercycle after 2002 was most dramatic. China's investment-heavy economy drove mining companies' returns on capital from 7.5% to nearly 35%. This profitability surge spurred massive production increases. Global mine production rose 20% annually between 2000 and 2011, with capital expenditure climbing fivefold to over $160 billion. The cycle turned in 2011 as China's growth slowed. Iron ore prices fell 70%, while new capacity kept arriving. Academic research confirms the asset growth anomaly. Companies with the lowest asset growth consistently outperform those with the highest. Expansion often destroys rather than creates value. Marathon's most successful investments exploit agency problems, situations where purchasing decisions are separated from payment. Geberit, a Swiss sanitary systems maker, thrives because plumbers welcome price increases that boost their percentage-based commissions, delivering consistent 15% margins. Dental implant makers Nobel Biocare and Straumann maintain 24% margins on systems dentists charge $3,000 to $5,000 for, while hearing aid companies like William Demant achieve 20% margins on devices fitters sell for $2,000 to $4,000. Intertek's lab test represents the purest form. U.S. retailers select them to inspect Chinese manufacturers, but the Chinese firms pay the fees. Marathon also targets essential services customers barely notice: analog semiconductors, payroll processors, specialty chemicals, laboratory suppliers. These businesses share key traits. Their products cost little relative to customer budgets, yet prove vitally important. They enjoy multiple protections: economies of scale, regulatory barriers, high switching costs, and technical selling through embedded engineers. Marathon has sometimes hesitated at seemingly full valuations only to watch shares double or triple, a lesson that premium prices are justified when competitive advantages strengthen over time. Warren Buffett noted that CEOs retaining 10% of net worth annually will deploy over 60% of all capital within a decade, making allocation skills critical. Yet corporate behavior is consistently procyclical, buying high, selling low. At 2007's peak, companies spent record amounts on overvalued acquisitions and buybacks, then raised capital at market lows. European building materials groups invested $46 billion at cycle peak, then raised nearly $10 billion at depressed prices. Sampo's Bjorn Walros demonstrated exceptional skill, selling Nokia shares at 35 before they fell to 7.2, building a pan-Nordic insurance business that improved its combined ratio from 105% to 90%, buying out partners at $2.4 billion, now worth $4 to $9 billion, selling Finnish retail banking at peak for $4.1 billion, and reducing equity before Lehman while investing $8 to $9 billion in distressed bonds afterward. Exceptional allocators create enormous wealth by understanding cycles and maintaining discipline when peers panic. Marathon recognized that managerial capital allocation skill decisively determines outcomes, making face-to-face meetings core to their process. Capital cycle analysis draws from Schumpeter's creative destruction, where recessions cleanse economies by eliminating weak businesses. Yet European policymakers consistently block necessary consolidation in politically sensitive sectors. Low interest rates have become the critical barrier. The Bank of England reports 10% of British businesses survive only due to loose monetary policy. The European auto industry exemplifies this. Peugeot trades at a tenth of book value, but cannot close underperforming plants due to political resistance. Chinese state capitalism compounds these distortions through massive overcapacity in solar power, telecommunications, steel, and electric vehicles, flooding global markets with state-directed excess. Marathon has made few mainland Chinese investments despite China's 25-year industrialization boom. A dollar invested in the Hang Seng China Enterprises Index in 1993 would be worth just 35 cents today. Investment bankers facilitate these distortions by expanding capacity during booms and consolidating during busts while chasing short-term fees. During the mid-2000s private equity boom, banks offered unprecedented lending terms focused solely on syndication fees rather than credit quality, creating daisy chain economics where firms flip companies at ever higher prices. In markets that reward action and celebrate growth, the capital cycle framework offers something rarer: restraint grounded in understanding. The pattern repeats with precision. High returns attract capital, excess capacity destroys profitability, weak players exit, and the cycle begins anew. Success requires patience to wait for favorable entry points, discipline to avoid overcrowded sectors, and courage to invest when others despair. Most importantly, it requires resisting growth for its own sake, recognizing that expansion often destroys rather than creates value. The next time you see a celebrated CEO on a magazine cover, flanked by headlines about revolutionary growth and record profits, ask yourself, how many competitors are reading the same story, planning their own expansions, attracted by those same high returns? In that question lies the essence of capital cycle investing, and perhaps the difference between wealth creation and wealth destruction.